to the Brazilian military if it attempts a coup to measure that would reform the draconian Espionage Act. Passage of the NDAA, which typically clears both chambers of Congress on a bipartisan basis with relatively little issue, would be a major victory for weapons contractors that have lobbied aggressively for more spending. The Senate's version of the NDAA proposes even more military spending than the House's. An $839 billion military budget is a policy failure for the people and the planet, tweeted the peace group Code Pink, adding if the U.S. government was truly interested in defending U.S. health and safety, it would allocate Pentagon spending toward climate action, healthcare, and other life-affirming services, not war. Like every other NDAA that Congress has approved in recent years, the version for the coming fiscal year is chock full of wasteful programs that can hardly be justified on national security grounds. In an open letter recently, an ideologically diverse coalition of watchdog groups warned that the House bill could dump even more money into a $6 billion program to produce new engines for the F-35 fighter jet, itself a notorious boondoggle. As Connor Echols of Responsible Statecraft reports, the House NDAA sets aside $503 million for the new Adaptive Engine Transition Program, which would replace engines for most F-35s with a design that had previously been rejected. The coalition of watchdog groups wrote in their open letter recently that over the service life of the fleet, the F-35 program is projected to cost the American people $1.7 trillion. This is roughly $5,000 for every man, woman, and child in the nation, the groups pointed out. More broadly, Lindsay Kashagarian of the National Priorities Project observed last week that slashing $100 billion from the U.S. military budget could fund a range of progressive priorities, including the clean energy and child care provisions of President Biden's beleaguered Build Back Better initiative. Merely reversing the House's proposal to pile $37 billion on top of Biden's request, meanwhile, could help pay for provisions for extending child and earned income tax credits, and provisions for improved health care access and Medicare hearing benefits for seniors, Kashagarian noted. Even $100 billion is actually a modest cut when it comes to the Pentagon, she argued, adding we could cut much more and end up even safer. But when that $37 billion or $100 billion can do so much good elsewhere, it's unacceptable to put it in the Pentagon.
Jafar Gonzalez.
Life is passing, as the water flowing in the river passes when it seeks the sea. And I, heedlessly, sit on the threshold of my house and stare at the passing of life. My name is Raúl González Bornés. I am from Madrid. I was born in 1950 in an active, combatant, communist, and anti-fascist family.
Comunistas, militantes.
I studied in Ramiro de Mastero School. I received my diploma and then went to university to study technical communication engineering and electronic engineering. I studied engineering till 1968 and I was arrested for anti-fascist activities.
Por mis actividades antifascistas fui detenido.
This was my class when I was 7. At the age of 8, 9, yes, it has changed a lot. It was like small houses before. Indeed, it has changed a lot.
Esta es la entrada de Andalucía.
This is the entrance of Andalusia. This region is called España Berocelos. Currently, we are passing Costija Flat. We are descending to the sea. A new land with a different culture starts from here. A different idea of life. A different soul. A different soul and mind.
Alma de un pueblo oprimido.
After my release from prison, I started to work in filmmaking. In 1972, I was forced to do my obligatory military service. When I was doing my military service, I was arrested, imprisoned, and tortured. I was imprisoned in the military ward at the Carabenco prison in 1974, a little after the assassination of Carrero Blanco, who was General Franco's prime minister. That is, a year before General Franco's death, I was released from prison.
Poco después del atentado contra Carrero Blanco y en el año 74, es decir, un año antes de la muerte del general Franco, fui liberado.
That is, sentenced to a year in prison after the court, but I was released a little before the court.
Prácticamente es lo que ya había estado antes del juicio, fui liberado.
Esta escuela tiene un equipo de...
This school had an important basketball team, which was called Student. At the age of 10, we started to play basketball. We gathered here to go to the class, and here we played basketball. Andalusia has a deep soul and spirituality. The soil is so deep. It is land with a people who have majestic feelings. Great regional feelings, great artistic feelings, and great human feelings. It was a mosque before. They've changed it to a church. Flamenco started from here. When a farmer is working on his farm, his tear and song flow on his tongue in the form of flamenco. They stole the history of this land up to the point that people do not know who their ancestors were. There was a statue of General Franco here. The first and second grade students were all in this place. They played music here. We played basketball there, and here we played soccer. Everywhere here was open before, but now they are closed. Yes, it is all closed. Only if one of them knows the real history of this land, he will tear.
Justice.
They collected the Qurans and other sacred books and burned all of them. And now, after 500 years, they still celebrate the anniversary of Granada's conquest every year as if they had done a heroic deed. It was a city whose governors surrendered in order to prevent bloodshed. They gave the city disarmed to some barbarians who did not have any heart and pity. They did not understand any languages except oppression. They had no God except money. It is a lie that they were Christians. They never believed in Christ. They never believed in Christ's message. Franco died and democracy reached Spain, and it was the beginning of tears of great disappointment in me because we saw the new democracy and the former one were the same. The only difference is that the new democracy is shown better. The new democracy came with a better disguise, but with more oppression and dictatorship. I saw most of the people who had fought against fascism and all accepted the new logics. They surprisingly accepted even to join the play they called democracy. This made me so disappointed. I started to feel a kind of absurdity in myself. But they could not make me deal with this system and accept it. This issue caused a kind of isolation and seclusion. There are many Spanish words which have Arabic roots, like al-zakia or al-zaytun. It was a time when I felt that I had received a message inviting me to leave Madrid. And some months later, this message of leaving Madrid took me to Granada Mountains for discovering nature. I got familiar with some persons who came here to live. I came here too and lived with them in nature for 4 years. We did not have electricity or gas. We had a primitive life. The house which was located here was a ruin. We asked its owner to let us repair it. We wanted to repair it with logs and stocks, like the other houses here, which are built in a traditional way. Here in nature, we watched the stars at night because there was no electricity. The sky was clear. We could see the passing of the sun and the moon. We saw signs of nature, passing of the seasons, and leaves changing color in the spring. Little by little, I started to think that generally somebody created this process. I started to think about the existence of a creator.
Alguien que lo había creado y empecé a pensar en la posibilidad de la existencia del creador.
I was reading different Bibles, which ended with reading a book by Oscar, titled La Epistola de Profrotium. This book speaks about Jesus Christ in a way that I had never heard throughout my life. Having read the Bible, I found that Christ's message is undoubtedly a divine speech.
el mensaje de Jesús y el mensaje de la palabra divina, sin duda.
Finally, in the early days of 1983, I started a kind of fasting. I was alone. All my friends went for New Year celebrations. They went to see their families. I started to have a kind of fast, which I only drank water. I went to the library and read books. We, five persons who lived together, had a very large library with different books. I found a book about Islam. It was a small book by Sayyid Qutb, titled, What is Islam? It was after 16 days of fasting when I started to read the book.
Un pequeño libro de Sayyid Qutb se llamaba ¿Qué es el Islam? Y cuando comencé a leer lo que llevaría...
I read that saying prayers five times a day is one of the bases of Islam. A kind of light entered my heart and taught me that this is the way which I should follow. So I accepted Islam and returned to Granada to communicate with Muslims. It was after living here for 4 years, far away from city life, I started to learn Islam's practical precepts, like wudu, ghusl, prayers, and fasting. And this way, I began to follow Islam.
Mi camino por la senda del Islam. Esta es la casa de Pedro.
Here is Pedro's home. He is an intimate friend of mine who became Muslim several years ago.
Se hizo musulmán hace unos años y bueno, es un hombre de aquí.
This is all his life. What you see here. This is a mystic life from Granada. Well, I visit him whenever I come to Granada because he is a man with a great heart.
Bueno, siempre que vengo a Granada vengo a verle, ¿no? Porque es un hombre de un gran corazón.
Finding God and converting to Islam was a critical moment in my life. Before becoming a Muslim, I can say I was following my survival. But after I converted to Islam, a substantial change happened. All events in my life were in front of my eyes, and the outlook of my life started to appear bright.
Se comienza a aclarar.
I remember the first verse of the Quran I memorized. It was, verily, in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find rest. Actually, I should explain how I reached Islam. This Quranic verse indicated this stage of my life because all happened to me was a journey to find tranquility in my heart. I passed a very ordinary stage. Actually, I started to observe some Islamic precepts like prayer and fasting. And as a result, I understood the meaning of Islam and placed it inside my heart. Then, I started to build my surrounding according to God. We are going to Arenas de San Peter, which is a small village. It is about 120 kilometers south of Madrid. Maria Tavajo and Agustin Noviz live there. This husband and wife are translators and writers. They have translated most of Henry Corman's books. They have a very deep and mystic view about life. Agustin has some works, one of which is a criticism of development. In my opinion, it is an amazing book.
Thank you.
están fabricadas de la misma.
La llegada.
When I found God and believed in Him, the conditions changed as well, especially when I became a Muslim. A series of new role models appeared to me who had obvious behavior and conduct, like Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And after a while, characters like Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, and other imams who were from Prophet Muhammad's family.
El ejemplo que de, y la actitud que ellos nos han transmitido con sus vidas y con sus enseñanzas. Personas como, en primer lugar, por supuesto.
And even contemporary characters that are our role models, seriously, with their deeds and conducts, like Imam Khomeini.
De guía y revolucionario que.
Firstly, it is not for his role as a leader of an effective revolution in the contemporary era, but substantially for his personal deeds, lifestyle, reactions, and thoughts.
Por su la profundidad de su reflexión personal y de su pensamiento.
Vale, tafsir sureja.
Has traducido.
Descubrimiento del Islam.
After I knew Islam and accepted it as an ideology, little by little I discovered some new aspects believed by Islamic thoughts. One of these aspects is a socio-political aspect, which is supported by Islamic thought.
La dimensión social y política que la creencia islámica implica. Digamos, el Islam me va a permitir.
Islam gave me the opportunity to restore this aspect of life. This was the obsession I had about the social and political issues. This was part of a deeper attitude towards the realities themselves. For example, it was part of this realization that relationship with God affects the person himself and helps reform his personality.
Profundo de la realidad misma, es decir, como parte de una comprensión de que.
This helped me communicate with people. Converting to Islam gradually restored all periods of time when I lost for bad events. Those times, my major concern was social and political struggles, as well as trying to change a society into an ideal social system and freedom. Moreover, I had lost my interest in politics because there was no democracy in the country. Studying the current democracy showed that it was not a step forward to social justice and freedom. Reaching Islam did not just require restoring what you had lost, that is, trying to be happy or enhancing human knowledge. Additionally, it has another important aspect, which requires believing in one single God and Creator for everything.
Sino que además va a aportarle esa dimensión de.
He is the Creator who requires us to have social commitment. This is for defending the religion, justice, and social equity for humans.
Defensa de la igualdad social de los seres humanos.
Actually, this verse of the Quran, which says, "How many a small company has overcome a large company by permission of Allah," is a source of inspiration for contemporary humans. Attention is attracted towards this idea that quantity is not the only important thing. Quantity, which is the main pillar of this civilization, is not of importance.
Es, en mi opinión, una fuente de inspiración.
Personal quality is important. The verse says that the individual is the center of attention. It allows the person to review himself, restore his self-assurance, and know his value.
Sobre la cuestión de la cantidad, no sobre el asunto sobre el que está fundamentada la.
There are some verses in the Quran in which God says, for example, when a person saves another, he saves the whole of humanity. And when a person kills a soul, he kills all of humanity. These verses give one the permission to react. They show the significance of an individual alone in this society which ruins the humanity of humans.
Esta sociedad cosificadora. En ese sentido.
For example, the Islamic resistance in Lebanon is so promising. It has a message which is so promising for humanity, both for believers and non-believers, although its audience is the oppressed.
Muy esperanzador a la humanidad, tanto creyente como no creyente.
The reason is that the main cause of change is not the quantity of humans. The number of people in a revolution is not important, but their self-esteem. It is not necessary that a large number of people be in any movement to change a society in a positive way, but fundamentally, what we need is their high quality of character.
La que produce esa transformación social. Es un ejemplo claro.
Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah is a good example of Islamic leadership. Although he's an international leader, he's at the forefront of defending his people. His values are more than defending his people, that is, defending the values which save people from deadlock by his life and his family's life. He is not a leader who manages his forces sitting at a desk. He leads this movement by his life and his family's life, to the extent that his son was martyred.
La sangre de uno de sus hijos en la lucha por sus ideales.
Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah became an international character, especially after Israel's imposed war in the summer of 2006. He is a valuable example of a person who is referred by other people for opposing oppression. On one hand, he is so strong against homicide, oppression, state terrorism, and illegal occupation of lands. On the other hand, he is very flexible and lenient, who embraces all people. No one is excluded. No one of those who can take part in this battle, or at least those who are ready to talk about their ideology. Life is passing, life is passing. And beautiful dreams and your wishes are forgotten. Fame disappears. You'll see none of your ambitions remain, even not a memory.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
In the limelight.
Rather than going around the world collecting military allies and imposing sanctions on countries that do not wish to align with the United States, China invites partners to collaborate on mutually beneficial basis. We now present you an article written by Dr. George Koo, the founder and former managing director of International Strategic Alliances. The piece is titled Disintegration of Unipolar World Begins. The article was published by the Asia Times. In April, I was invited to speak about the US-China bilateral relationship. For the title of the speech, I chose Pushing China's Head Underwater Won't Make America Great Again. Recent developments suggest that an updated title would be Pushing China's Head Underwater Will Hasten America's Own Demise. There are two reasons for fine-tuning my title. First, the United States' deliberate tactics to obstruct China's growth and expansion have failed miserably while inflicting more hardship on Americans. The The American people are paying a ghastly price for Washington's obsession with China. Second, priorities of America's foreign policy are not making any sense. The most recent example is the announcement by President Joe Biden that the United States will contribute $200 billion to the G7 pool of funds to compete with China's Belt and Road Initiative, the BRI. It's hard to tell where Biden is going to find that money. Even if all Group of Seven nations contribute their share of funds, it will be even harder to figure out to how they can implement the Belt Road Initiative-like projects in the developing world. Most probably, they would have to subcontract work to China, which knows how to implement it. On top of Biden's dream of grandeur, he's sending billions of dollars worth of arms and weapons to Ukraine to prolong the conflict with Russia. Bipartisan approval is easy when it comes to making war. By contrast, to relieve the inflationary pressure on America's domestic economy, Joe Biden is proposing to forgive 18 cents per gallon, or 4.76 cents per liter, of federal tax on gasoline for the three summer months. Wow, billions of dollars to compete with China and Russia and an 18-cent discount for the American motorist. In California, a gallon of gasoline has gone over $6, or $1.59 a litre. Saving 18 cents per gallon from a fill-up will barely cover the cost of a cup of coffee. In the United States, prices of everything has gone up. Inflation looms. Nay, inflation at 8.8% is already the highest in the past 40 years. Soon the American motorist won't even get a cup of coffee from his gas tax saving. Biden does not deny that Americans are facing inflation. He blames the inflation on Russian President Vladimir Putin and his special operation in Ukraine. He urges the American public to endure this for as long as it takes in order to defeat Putin. Hardly encouraging words. Of course, most American people are not aware that it has been the US-led North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, that baited Putin over the decades into the conflict with Ukraine. Washington has since congratulated itself for successfully mounting a proxy war, getting Ukrainians to fight the Russians. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin even claimed that the war meets the objectives to wear down the strength of Russia, albeit at the expense of Ukrainian casualties and Ukrainian property. NATO celebrated a summit at the end of June where Sweden and Finland were formally included as new members. The organization accused China of not condemning Russia's special operations in Ukraine and therefore not standing with NATO. At its NATO summit, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, South Korea were invited as observers as a signal that NATO's expansion plans now include the North Pacific. Just to make sure nobody misses that intention, for the first time NATO identified China as a potential threat and a systematic challenge. So what constitutes China's threat to the security of NATO members? Apparently, it is the fact that China has dominated manufacturing of goods and prices that the West cannot compete with. China's gross domestic product, or GDP, continues to grow, and that makes NATO members nervous. The West, led by the United States, has repeatedly accused China of violating rule-based international order. The most recent action by the Biden White House was to impose sanctions on goods made in Xinjiang province, alleging human rights abuses in China's Xinjiang province. In response, China, on the day after the conclusion of the NATO summit, announced the placement of an entire order for 292 commercial jetliners worth more than $37 billion with Airbus, the European consortium, and none to Boeing, the other major plane maker. This was a harsh attention-getting message from China in response to President Biden's endless innuendos and baseless insults at a signal and a signal that China is ready to play hardball with Washington. China's other message to the countries in the European Union, many of which are members of NATO, the Airbus order reaffirmed that China can be a major economic partner and poses no threat to the security of the European Union. Inflation in the European Union is rapidly getting out of control because of the war in Ukraine and the US-imposed sanctions on Russia. If Joe Biden thought he was driving a stake into the heart of Russia's economy, he miscalculated. Vladimir Putin turned around and pegged Russia's energy exports to the ruble. Consequently, the value of the ruble against the euro has reached a seven-year high. The artificial shortage in world oil caused by the US sanctions on Russian oil has not hurt Russia. It makes money selling its oil to China, to India, and to other buyers at higher prices. However, major nations in the European Union, especially France, Germany, and Italy, are energy importers, and they are beginning to question the wisdom of following the US leadership. The world is beginning to see the difference between currencies based on assets and the American dollar, based on the full faith and credit of the US government. In other words, the Federal Reserve's printing press. Central banks of various countries are beginning to lighten their dollar holdings in favor of other reserve currencies, the most popular being China's renminbi. According to the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, the US dollar's share of the global currency reserves has fallen to its lowest point in more than two decades. To take advantage of the availability of Russian oil at favorable discount, India entered a rupee for ruble deal and get around paying in dollars. For the first time, India bought coal from Russia with the Chinese renminbi. While the G7 and then the NATO summit meeting took place in Europe, it was China's turn to host the BRICS meeting, which it did virtually. At the 2022 BRICS summit, Beijing invited many non-member countries as observers. Formed back in 2009, BRICS consists of Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. It is not a military alliance, but it's meant to promote collaboration for peace, for security, and global economic development. Compared with the G7, BRICS has three times the population, but only about 70% of the G7's gross domestic product, or GDP. At the 2022 BRICS summit, Argentina and the Islamic Republic of Iran formally applied to join BRICS. Adjusted for purchasing parity, the gross domestic product for BRICS Plus would surpass that of G7, and there is a proposal afoot to create a new global reserve currency based on the basket of BRICS Plus currencies as an alternative to the US dollar. Rather than going around the world collecting military allies and imposing sanctions on countries that do not wish to align with the United States, China invites partners to collaborate on mutually beneficial basis. Since it was initiated in 2013, China's Belt and Road Initiative, BRI, has launched more than 13,000 projects in 165 countries, valued at nearly $1 trillion. Most of the Belt and Road Initiative projects have to do with upgrading badly needed infrastructure, which leads directly to a boost in the recipient country's economy. There is now a high-speed rail link from China through Central Asia to Moscow, Russia, and onwards to Rotterdam on the Atlantic coast, 25 out of 31 Latin American countries are participants in the Belt and Road Initiative, as is most of Africa. At the just-concluded Group of 20 summit, the divide between the US-led Western bloc and China, Russia and the non-aligned members of the G20 became quite clear. The summit concluded without the usual group photo of smiling state leaders and no joint declarations expressing optimistic steps for the future. Every year, China graduates 8 times as many students in STEM or science, technology, engineering and mathematics than the United States. These human resources power developments in high technology for China. The more pressure the US exerts to stifle China's advance, the more determined the Chinese will be to find their own technical advances and skirt around American roadblocks.
Hello, I'm Mubarak Kenya, and a big welcome to this week's edition of Africa Today.
Stay tuned with Africa Today.
Africa Today.
China has overtaken the United States as the foreign power seen as having the biggest positive influence in Africa by young people. Now, this is according to a survey across 15 major African countries. A young African explains one of the reasons why China is viewed positively in the continent.
China is the manufacturing center of the world. So most of the products that we consume, whether it's in tech or every consumer product, has an origin from China.
Hello, I'm Mubarak Kenya, and a warm welcome to Africa Today, a weekly program that gives you an alternative view of events making headlines in Africa. This week's edition is focusing on reports of China's increasing popularity among young people in Africa, while the United States sees a steep decline of its influence in the continent. The second segment of our show is on Algeria's decision to suspend a 2-decades-old friendship treaty with Spain after Madrid reversed decades of neutrality in the Western Sahara dispute. Our experts will be giving us their incisive analysis on these two subjects.
China overtakes U.S. in Africa. A recent survey conducted by the Ichikowitz Family Foundation found that 76% of 4,507 young Africans across 15 countries named China as a foreign power with a positive influence on their lives, compared with 72% for the U.S. In 2020, when the inaugural study of 18 to 24-year-olds was conducted, 83% of respondents saw the U.S.'s influence as positive, while the figure for China was 79%. The results are a clear indicator that in Africa, China is winning the battle against geopolitical rivals such as the U.S. and the European Union.
Beijing has invested heavily into African infrastructure over the past 2 decades and supplies the continent with affordable consumer goods ranging from mobile phones and solar panels to shovels and plastics. A young Kenyan manager at a Chinese tech company in Nairobi says China brings affordable technology to Africa.
I did a lot of research of the consumer needs in Africa, and they're able to bring in a solution just what the consumer requires. So the technology in that China is applying, they bring about very affordable devices, they bring very affordable technology.
Now, for more on the rise of China and the decline of the United States in Africa, we have contacted Lawrence Freeman, our political economic analyst for Africa. Thanks a lot, sir, for your time today.
Glad to be with you.
Now, are you surprised that China has overtaken the U.S. as the foreign power, seen as having the biggest positive influence in Africa among young people?
Not really. I expected as much. There has been really no policy coming from the United States for many decades that actually promotes the sovereignty of nations and the economic development of African nations. And currently, the Biden administration, President Joe Biden, has no policy, none, for Africa. And the default is to do nothing to help the African nations. China is playing a much more positive role, in particular economic development of the nations. And therefore, it is not surprising at all that the young people will see China as a more positive influence.
China has gained positive influence in Africa through aid, trade, and investments to kickstart the continent's structural transformation process. Unlike the U.S. and other Western countries, which meddle in the internal affairs of African countries, China maintains a policy of mutual respect. This is the point made by Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta while speaking early January at a ceremony in the country's main port city of Mombasa to mark the completion of a Chinese-built oil terminal.
Our partnership with China is not a partnership based on China telling us what we need. It is a partnership of friends working together to meet Kenya's social economic agenda.
What are the main reasons behind China winning the battle against geopolitical rivals such as the US and the European Union for the hearts and minds of Africans?
Most importantly, China has a completely different outlook of how to coordinate policy with other nations, and in particular the African nations. The United States has no policy towards Africa right now, and the Europeans very little. But China wants to develop and work with African nations. It wants to help these nations lift their population out of poverty, which China has done successfully. And therefore, they're making long-term investments in energy, railroads, ports, dams for the development of these nations. And this is seen positively by Africans and African youth because it can improve their economy, create jobs, improve their standard of living. The United States has no policy, and therefore it's the reason that China is succeeding in winning the hearts and minds of Africans.
Western powers, especially the United States, are peddling the narrative of China's engagement in debt-trap diplomacy. Chinese foreign minister has rejected the claims, saying the so-called debt-trap diplomacy is not a fact, but a malicious hype-up by some people.
It is speculation being played out by some with ulterior motives. It's a narration by those who do not want to see development in Africa. If there is any trap, it is poverty and underdevelopment. China would like to welcome other countries friendly towards Africa to eliminate poverty.
China has successfully positioned itself as a major trading partner and investor in Africa, displacing Europe as the most important partner in large infrastructure projects and the exploitation of raw materials. So, it is not just the United States that's been overtaken by China in Africa. The EU has also been compelled to give way to China in the continent. What are some of the main factors behind the negative perception towards Western powers in Africa?
Western powers are still treating Africa as if they were colonies. They tell them what to do. They tell them what they can't do. They tell them what they should do. They're trying to pressure. There's a bill in the Congress, the United States Congress, to pressure African nations not to work with Russia. African nations have been told that they shouldn't be working with China and be taking in this debt, even though the largest amount of debt in African nations still owed to the West. They keep saying that African nations should do this, should do that. You have to follow our model of democracy. You have to carry out our model of human rights.
During the recent Group of Seven summit, leaders unveiled a $600 billion plan to rival China's Belt and Road Initiative. Here's the U.S. president making the announcement.
We're here today because we're making this commitment together as a G7 in coordination with one another to maximize the impact of our work. Collectively, we aim to mobilize nearly $600 billion from the G7 by 2027.
Today, G7 countries and their societies face huge economic challenges, and the declaration by Biden is seen as a tool to show the global audience that the U.S. still retains hegemony. Now, do you think this plan by the G7 will weaken China's growing influence in Africa?
No, not at all. I mean, first of all, going back to the Obama administration, don't forget Xi Jinping announced the Belt and Road in, November 2013. Several offers by the Chinese to the Americans to join the Belt and Road were a veto, which was an act of stupidity by the Obama administration. And now, under the Biden administration, they say, well, we're going to rival the Belt and Road. Frankly, it's a fantasy. First of all, they're never going to be able to do it. The China development policy for Africa and other parts of the world, Asia, Latin America, is out of the box. It can't be put back in. The control of the unipolar world by the United States and the West is over. Russia's indicated that in another way. And what the Europeans and Biden have cooked up, I can tell you in advance, is not going to work. It's not going to have a big effect. And there's no way it's going to undermine China. China is here to stay and will soon be the largest economy in the world. And it's because of the West's failure to work with China that we have so many problems.
China is the largest developing country and has gained great experience in alleviating poverty. Beijing has shown it is willing to share its development experience with African countries.
I can say I'm very happy and honored to be among the first batch of female drivers in Kenya. And I've been able to learn so much from the company and from my Chinese teachers.
While most young people in Africa believe China is positively influencing their life, Western media outlets are using isolated incidents to pursue an anti-China narrative in Africa. Now, Mr. Freeman, what should Beijing do to further boost its positive image in Africa?
Well, there is a lot of prejudice, even among my African friends, against China. But it's hard to say exactly where it comes from. There are various forms of propaganda that came out that said China was stealing African resources. That's not true. There is problems of racism, which have been documented in certain countries. I think in the beginning, the Chinese used a lot of their own labor for these projects, which I understand is not the case now. So I think there are lingering problems. All nations have them, but clearly the pluses of China's involvement with African nations outweighs some of these possibly lingering problems. And therefore, you always look to try to promote the positive.
Well, there you have it. Despite U.S.-led Western propaganda, China is seen as a power with positive influence by most young people in Africa. We'd like to thank our expert today, Lawrence Freeman, a political economic analyst for Africa, for his insight. Now, our next topic is on Algeria's move to suspend a friendship treaty with Spain. But before that, we take a short break, so stay with us.
Algeria suspends friendship treaty with Spain.
You're listening to Africa Today. Africa Today is an analytical weekly review of political, economic, and social events in Africa, the world's second largest continent. The series is broadcast every week on Saturdays and Sundays by IRIB English Radio.
Algeria recently suspended a two-decades-old friendship treaty with Spain after Madrid reversed decades of neutrality in the Western Sahara dispute. Spain has publicly recognized an autonomy plan for the Western Sahara put forward by Morocco, which controls 80% of the disputed territory.
This move was the latest blow to increasingly fragile relations between Algiers and Madrid, which depends on Algeria for its natural gas supply. Algeria also suspended foreign trade in products and services with Spain amid the escalating dispute over the status of Western Sahara.
The Spanish Prime Minister has defended his country's agreement with Morocco, saying security and stopping illegal immigrants are a priority for Madrid.
We will proceed to the gradual reopening of the border crossings to ensure an orderly flow of people in complete safety and in compliance with the necessary health requirements, and goods will also flow normally.
Now, for more on the diplomatic spat between Algeria and Spain over the Western Sahara, we have contacted Abdurrahman Mohamed Ahmed, a political activist and a commentator. Thanks a lot, sir, for your time today.
Thank you very much for having me in your show.
Now, was Algeria justified in suspending foreign trade and a friendship treaty with Spain due to the dispute over the status of Western Sahara?
Yes, I believe that Algeria was totally justified in suspending foreign trade as well as the friendship agreement with the government of Spain. The reasons are multiple. Spain was a colonial power, and recently we saw actually that the behavior, the political behavior of the government of Spain was actually in line with other European countries like French, Britain, who are trying actually to create chaos and destabilization in their former colony in Africa. In line with that, I believe that the position taken by the Algerian government is commendable.
Algeria has long backed the Polisario movement that is seeking independence of the Western Sahara region claimed by Morocco. The Polisario movement, which fought a 15-year war with Morocco after Spanish colonialists withdrew in 1975, is demanding a referendum on independence. Algeria says that Spain's decision to recognize Morocco's plan of granting autonomy to Western Sahara is in violation of its legal, moral, and political obligations. Algeria's foreign minister expounds on his country's position towards Western Sahara.
Algeria reaffirms its support for the right of the Sahrawi people to self-determination, and we call upon the United Nations to assume their legal responsibilities towards the Sahrawi people and guarantee their inalienable rights. The organization of a free and fair referendum in order to enable this courageous people to determine their future and decide on their political future cannot forever be taken hostage by the intransigence of an occupying state.
What are the interests of Algeria in supporting the Polisario movement?
I believe that it's important for the viewer to understand that Western Sahara was occupied and colonized by the Spanish government, and that the proud people, the